Take your Bibles and turn to 2 Corinthians. In chapter 4, we'll stand out of love and respect for the Word of God. And we're going to read the first 7 verses, and I'll read them to you. You just follow along. It says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us." I'll read another verse to you before I tell you what the characteristic is, just so you can get a clue, because I want you all to try to guess it if you can, okay? In 1 Peter chapter 3, the Bible tells us, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ." This characteristic that we're going to learn about tonight is that characteristic of being knowledgeable. Being knowledgeable. Knowing something. All right? Or, if you will, having a clear and certain perception of truth, or that which exists, or facts. Okay, so it's being knowledgeable is simply being clear of that which exists, a certain perception of truth, a certain perception of fact, a certain perception of information. Or, if you will, being knowledgeable is the power of knowing something. You understand that we know something. We know something. We ask people, maybe out witnessing as we knock on doors, we may say something like, "Do you know for sure if you died today, would you go to heaven?" Or we might say, "Do you know that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again?" Ladies and gentlemen, we have a clear perception of something. And to us, if you will, I know it's by faith, but to us it's fact. That there's only one way to heaven, is through the blood of Jesus Christ applied to our lives. It's a free gift. We talked about in Sunday school that it's that gift of grace through faith. And that there's a certain truth to salvation. So all of these things said, and as it says in Peter, that we need to sanctify the Lord God in our hearts and be ready always to give an answer. Can I ask you a question? If you're not knowledgeable, how can you do that? Okay, so this is something we need to work on, right? And maybe perhaps in this congregation this size, or maybe out there on the World Wide Web, there may be someone who knows everything. Okay, I would love to meet you, all right, or talk with you after the service if you're sitting in front of me this evening. But you know what? I'm 44 years old. I guess you could say I'm still a young man. Some may say that. Some may say I'm an old man. I don't know. It depends on where you are in life, I suppose. And you know what? I've been to Bible college. I graduated from high school. I was 4 years in the military. And went through different military training and schools and things. I have 2 bachelor's of science degrees from Bible college.
I have 16 years of being a Christian school principal and 1 year of being a pastor under my belt. Can I say to you that that's pretty decent in the area of gaining knowledge? But can I tell you something? I don't know everything. And I still need to get more. And I still need to learn more. And I still need to be more knowledgeable day by day. And if you will, I've said this before, but I'll say it again. And this way I can show off my nice new Bible I have. And I do not believe that a human being can fully exhaust the knowledge of this book, even in a lifetime. Okay, that's an opinion, all right? But I'd like to see someone that thinks they can. Because I'm telling you, I believe this book is inexhaustible. So guess what that means? We just need to keep learning and learning and learning and learning and learning. And if you will, relearning and relearning and going over. Because you know what? Just like I did tonight, we forget things. Do we not? Or maybe you're reading through your Bible, and how many of you have ever said, "Oh, wow, I didn't know that." I was just talking with someone this week about all the useless genealogies in the Bible. That's what people call them, okay? Now, I would say, don't call anything that God decided to put in Scripture useless. But, you know, as you're reading through there in Numbers and in the Old Testament and such, so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so begat so-and-so. And it's just, you know, just it kind of does drag on. It takes a little fortitude to push through that. But, you know, I was reading that one day, and I got through there, and I said, huh. Got to the place where it was talking about David's family and such and so forth. And I had always wondered, just from studying the Bible and reading the Bible, why in the world David put up so much with Joab? I mean, that man's the biggest weasel in the Bible, I think. I mean, he was horrible. Captain of the host of Israel there, but he did so many underhanded and shady things. And I'm like, why in the world would David put up with this guy? Well, come to find out, reading through the genealogies, I found out why. It's his cousin. They're kin. I'm like, wow, I learned something from reading so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so begat, so-and-so. And that helped the Bible make sense to me. I became more knowledgeable on that particular subject. It was more clear to me of something that existed that I did not know about. Can I tell you something? As you go through your life, there are going to be things that you did not know that you can know. And that you need to gain with the gaining of knowledge. Take your Bibles and turn to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm going to use my little bookmark there. Proverbs chapter 1. Look at verse 7. Solomon, and we'll talk about him a little bit more in just a moment, said this in verse 7, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction." So I think for tonight, in order to become more knowledgeable, to hone this characteristic in our lives, we need to start at the beginning. It's a good place to start. So what in the world could we say about the beginning of knowledge? Well, Solomon said it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Can I just say tonight that knowledge is and comes from God? To know God is knowledge. To know of God is knowledge. To know of the things of God is knowledge. To fear God is the beginning of knowledge. You see, if we're going to say, well, I know this and I know that, but do you know God? And you know of God. And you know of His salvation. And what He has given Because that is what knowledge really is. You say, well, I know facts and figures and I'm a multi-winning champion on Jeopardy. Okay. Can I kindly say you don't know anything if you don't know God? Because that's really all that matters. Is God, in the fear of God and knowing God, is the beginning of knowledge. In Proverbs 9:10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Over in the book of Exodus, there's an interesting thing. As God was giving to Moses the design of the tabernacle and how all the different things were to be made and how all the different things were to be put together so that the people of God could meet with God there in the wilderness as they were traveling around. In verse 30 of chapter 35, the Bible tells us that Moses said unto the children of Israel, see, the Lord hath called by name Bezaleel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And he hath filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom, in understanding, and in knowledge, and in all manner of workmanship, and to devise curious works, to work in gold, and in silver, and in brass, and in the cutting of stones to set them, and in carving of wood to make any manner of cunning work. And he hath put in his heart that he may teach both he and Aholiab, the son of Ahishbash, of the tribe of Dan. Them he hath he filled with wisdom of heart to work all manner of work of the engraver and of the cunning workman, and of the embroiderer, and in blue, in purple, in scarlet, and in fine linen, and of the weaver, even of them that do any work, and of those that devise cunning work. Where do they get all this information from? Where do they get all this knowledge from? They got it from God. He filled their heart with it. He gave them the knowledge and the ability to do things. Hey, listen, how do you know to do what you did? Well, I went to college. Yes, I know that. But where did all that come from? It came from God. You know, the Bible tells us that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. God made you who you are. Your personality, your temperament, your aptitude, your abilities, your talents, your treasures, all the things that you possess are from God. You understand that knowledge begins with God. God has given us the ability to know. You know, when we think of things and how things work, we think of Solomon being the wisest man. And over in, I get to use my little thing again. Second Chronicles chapter 1. In verse 7, the Bible says, in that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I shall give thee. And Solomon said unto God, thou hast showed great mercy unto David my father, and hast made me to reign in his stead. Now, O Lord God, let thy promise unto David my father be established, for thou hast made me king over a people like the dust of the earth in multitude. Okay, now we can stop right there and think about this. Solomon grew up in David's home, the king. Do you suppose that he had an education? Yes, that's true. Do you suppose he had a very good education? I agree. Okay? Now, do you suppose that he learned a few things of how to rule a kingdom from his father, David? I would say yes. Many things. You can read through 1 Chronicles and see how David interacted with Solomon. And listen, he was preparing him and preparing him and preparing him, preparing him to be king. And yet, Solomon, I think even before God answered his prayer and his request, was wise to ask what he asked. In verse 10, he said, give me now wisdom and knowledge. He said, God, you have set me up. You've shown great mercy and kindness to my father David and put me in this position. Now God, give me wisdom. God, give me knowledge how to judge this people, how to rule this people. He said that I may go out and come in before this people. He said, for who can judge this thy people that is so great? So Solomon realized that he needed God and his knowledge to be successful. And can I tell you something today? Listen, I understand that you are all very intelligent beings. I do not doubt that. But can I say something? We need to get past our own intelligence and rely on God. Because that's the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of it. And we need to get past, like Solomon did, our own abilities and our own knowledge and our own wisdom and rely on the knowledge of God and become more knowledgeable in His ways and in His works. Listen, you can know all the things that you need to know about a secular job, and listen, that's fine to make money, but how much do you know about God? Are we lopsided in that knowledge? Where, yes, I'm an expert in my field, but are you an expert in God's field? You see, as Christians, and to have this characteristic in our lives as believers, we need to notch up the knowledge on this side a little bit more. And listen, I'm okay with you being super smart. And certainly I want you to be good at the task that you have to get done on a daily basis to make money because you've got to provide for your family. But don't let this one lack. Because when you're out there in life, listen, what you know about your job and your position, that's one thing. But what you know about God is completely another thing. We've got to increase our ability to be knowledgeable. Not so much in the things of this world, but more so in the things of God. In 1 Samuel chapter 2, Hannah said, there is none holy as the Lord. For there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God. Talk no more so exceedingly proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by Him actions are weighed. Solomon asked for wisdom and knowledge. God said, wisdom and knowledge is granted unto thee, and I will give thee riches and wealth and honor, such as none of the kings have had that have been before thee, neither shall there any after thee have the like. It's a pretty good deal, isn't it? I think somewhere else in the Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hey, listen, can I tell you something? Seek the knowledge of God first, and then the knowledge of other things second. You understand that God wants us to have knowledge. He encourages us to get it. Back in Proverbs, my son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of His mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Solomon also said in Ecclesiastes 2:26, for God hath given to a man that is good in His sight wisdom and knowledge and joy. You understand that God is the one that gives wisdom. God is the one that gives knowledge. He wants us to have it. You remember the four Hebrew children. You said it was three, Pastor Cole. Well, in chapter 1, it was four. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Remember how they came to Babylon? And they were put into the court and chambers of the king there, and they were given, their charge was given to a eunuch, a man there, and he was supposed to take care of them. So he gave them a portion of the king's meat. Now, you understand, they're in a foreign country, does not have the same laws and the same rules and the same dietary things that the Jews were commanded to follow. So I'm guessing there was a little bacon, maybe some ham, some spare ribs perhaps. I mean, hallelujah. Maybe a little good old cheddar jalapeno sausage. I'm sure there was some of that there. But they couldn't eat that stuff. The Bible tells us that Daniel purposed in his heart that he was not going to defile himself with that. So they got through this thing, and you know what God did for them because of their faithfulness? The Bible says, since for as for these four children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. And Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. If you go through and you look through what happens all through the book of Daniel with these four Hebrew children and what they went through, but what God gave to them in knowledge and wisdom and understanding. You understand that God wants us to have knowledge. See, okay, I've got knowledge. Now what? It needs to grow. So we have the beginning of knowledge, but secondly, we have the growth of knowledge. Take your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, just over from where we started in 2 Corinthians. Ephesians and chapter 4. Look at verse 11. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11. See, I think these new ribbons are slowing me down. See, I'm not blaming you tonight, aren't you glad? Ephesians chapter 4. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So you understand that this is a process, and it involves knowledge. Okay, it involves knowledge. Now listen, some of you have been here in this local church for many, many years, and no doubt you have grown in the knowledge of God. No doubt. But can I say something to you tonight? Don't stop growing. Don't stop growing. Don't be satisfied. Say, yeah, I know enough about the Bible. No, we don't. I want to know more about Jesus. More about Jesus. You see, we need to let and make the knowledge that we have in our lives of God to grow. In Colossians chapter 1, it says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness. We need to increase in knowledge. You know what that is? Becoming more knowledgeable. The beginning of knowledge is of God. and the things of God and the fear of God. But that's just the beginning. After that is the growing part. And we need to increase in knowledge. I mentioned this before in a sermon in the past, that the Bible tells us in Luke 2:52 that Jesus increased. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and in favor with man. You understand that if Jesus Christ increased, certainly we should. We need to increase. We need to, if you will, in 1 Corinthians it says, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. He said, it's a shame to not grow in knowledge. It's a shame not to know about the things that we're supposed to know. I've often said about growing, it would be very odd for me to bring my 17-year-old daughter Anna up here and hold her in my arms, and she'd be 17 inches long and 6.5 pounds. You'd say, what in the world is wrong with her? Just as much as it's a shame for a believer to be saved 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 35, 40 years and still be a babe in Christ in their knowledge of God. We need to grow, folks. We need to develop. If not, there's something wrong with us. There's a deficiency. There's a deformity. There's a disease. It's not the way it should be. It should not be that way. We should grow in knowledge. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul says, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only is in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. We need to grow. To grow in our knowledge, in the knowledge that we have of God, God wants us to grow. So to what end? We have the beginning of knowledge. And we have growth in knowledge. Well, how about this? The riches of knowledge. The riches of knowledge. While you're turning back to Proverbs, we're going to stop in Proverbs 2, Proverbs 8, Proverbs 20 and 24 in just a minute. As you're turning there, I'm going to read to you Romans 1:11. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. In Philippians 3, it says, yea, doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Paul said it was a good thing to have counted all the rest of it but dung, that I may win Christ. Are you there in Proverbs chapter 2? Look at verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. What's one of the riches that knowledge provides for us? Escape, preservation, safety. How about this? long life because of not the knowledge of God. It said that it's going to preserve us. It's going to keep us. There, look at Proverbs chapter 8. Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places by the way of the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things. For my mouth shall speak truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing froward or perverse in them. They are all plain to him that understandeth, and right to them that find knowledge. Receive my instruction, and not silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies, and all the things that may be desired are not to be compared to it. You know what it is? It's better than gold. It's better than silver. It's better than rubies. Solomon said in Proverbs 24, verses 3 through 5. I skipped one in chapter 20, verse 15. There is gold and a multitude of rubies, but the lips of knowledge are a precious jewel. 24 verses 3 through 5, Solomon said, through wisdom is an house builded, and by understanding it is established, and by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. A wise man is strong, yea, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. That's pretty valuable, isn't it? The riches of knowledge. How about health? Solomon said, in Proverbs 24, verses 13 and 14, my son, eat thou honey, because it is good, and the honeycomb, which is sweet to thy taste. So shall the knowledge of wisdom be unto thy soul. When thou hast found it, then there shall be a reward, and thy expectation shall not be cut off. That's valuable, folks. It's valuable. Ecclesiastes 7, Solomon said, wisdom is good with an inheritance. And by it there is profit to them that see the sun. For wisdom is a defense, and money is a defense. But the excellency of knowledge is that wisdom giveth life to them that have it. Is that valuable? That's valuable. God says that we're supposed to abound in knowledge. We're supposed to abound in faith. We're supposed to abound in wisdom. In Colossians, or 2 Corinthians 8, it says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion to the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye, through his poverty, might be rich. You know we're joint heirs with Christ? We are. And we have so much to look forward to. And God tells us to get knowledge, get wisdom and understanding. The beginning of it is God. The growth of it is for us in the Spirit of God. And the riches of it, or the gift of God to us. But it's about knowledge. How clear is your perception of the facts? A little fuzzy? Could it be clearer? It's about being knowledgeable.